everyone. Welcome to the Revolution Podcast.
We're the high school ministry at the church at Rocky Peak, and we'd love for you to join us in person on Saturday nights at 5:30.
For more info about the ministry and upcoming events, find us on Instagram at HS Revolution.
We hope you enjoy this time of teaching from God's Word.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Revolution! Nice to see you today. If you're brand new, my name is Tim. I'm the high school pastor here. I'm so excited that you guys are here. This is our last time meeting before Christmas. I hope you guys have some awesome stuff planned. Hopefully, I get to see you here on campus this next weekend for some of our Christmas services. It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm going to pray right now. I want to jump into our time of teaching. Sound good? Awesome. Great. Jesus, we thank you, God, that you have us here today. We thank you that whatever the circumstances were today, whatever's been going on, God, we just put that at your feet. Whether it's been a great day and we're kind of basking in the afterglow of that, God, or whether it's been a difficult day, whatever we're coming from, Lord, we put that in front of you and just ask that you would open our hearts during this time of teaching. God, would we see the truth of your word? Would we see who you've built us to be? And God, would you call us into an exciting life lived for your name? In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So we are wrapping up our series today that we've been in called From Jesus to You, where we've been talking about one of the gifts that Jesus gives to us, that after Jesus came and died on the cross for us, that as a consequence, as an overflow of him forgiving our sins and our relationship with God being made right, that Jesus chose to send us God the Holy Spirit to be present with us. And so, right, week one, we talked about that Jesus has sent this. We looked at some of the parts in the Bible before Jesus left to go be with the Father, as he's talking to his followers, talking about how he's going to send this one, this advisor who's going to come alongside them and walk with them and remind them of his teaching and point them back to his truth. And then last week, we talked about how the Holy Spirit's goal in our life, his goal in each one of us personally, is to shape us to be more like Jesus, to form in us a heart, a character that looks like what Jesus' heart looks like, that we would be people who love what God loves, and that we would turn away from what's evil, and that we would see that correctly. And so God is doing that in our lives. And then today, we're going to talk about some of the things that the Holy Spirit gives us towards that end. How is it that he equips us to be people who are running after this mission? Have you guys ever tried to build something or do a project, or maybe you like showed up to class and you had forgotten something at home? Have you ever tried to do something that required specific tools but without those specific tools? Like the other day, I thought for a moment that maybe I was handy. Turns out, I'm not. I looked at a project in our house, right? Because we've been renting this house for a while, and man, the drain stopper in the kids' bathroom really could be replaced. And I looked it up, and I'm like, yeah, I could do this, no problem. Yeah, it took like 5 minutes for me to get into the project to realize not only did I not have the right tools, but I had messed it up. Like, have you ever been in the middle of a project and realized you weren't equipped to do it? Like, you didn't have what was necessary? I am normally the like most chill person in my house, but I was grumpy that day, right? It is frustrating to try to do something without the right thing. If you ever showed up to like math class and you're supposed to be there, maybe you're supposed to bring your calculator and you like left it at home, or you showed up to a science lab and you're supposed to have something specific with you that you didn't have, and now you're left trying to complete the assignment or borrow something from someone else, and all of a sudden what should have been simple has become something really complex. It is tough to do the things that we're supposed to do without the right tools for them. And a lot of times, man, doing church together can feel almost like trying to do a project without the right tools, without the right things in our pocket. All right? We try to do it, and church can sometimes feel frustrating. It can kind of be bumpy. It can leave us in a spot where we're frustrated with each other and upset. And so today we're going to talk about how God gives us tools, what kinds of tools he gives us in order to equip us to be the church together, in order to be a group of people who represent him well. And so Man, we've got some fun stuff to cover today. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. And so first fill-in on your note sheet is this question. This is what we're going to be talking about today. What are spiritual gifts? If you're around church long enough, you hear about spiritual gifts. And if you've never been exposed to that idea before, it can be really confusing. Or if you just hear it in the background, it can seem almost mysterious. And so today we're gonna pull back the layer of mystery. We're gonna see what does God's word have to say, and then ask the question, okay, what is it that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, and why does he want to give that to us? What should our expectation be of what it looks like to be people who have God's Spirit with us? Because it would be a little strange if Jesus made a big deal saying, hey, I'm going, but I'm sending you someone better. I'm sending you an advisor. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. If Jesus made a big deal about it, and then the New Testament makes a big deal and talks about things like spiritual gifts, and here's what it is to be spiritual people instead of fleshly people, and makes a big deal about it, but then our lives look the same as everyone around us. What should our expectation be for the work of God in our life? And so in order to kind of kick off this topic, we're going to be looking in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. And so 1 Corinthians is a letter. You guys can go ahead and open up to it. It's going to be up here on the screen. If you have your own Bible, it's going to be a little bit easier to follow along. You can underline things. You can write notes in the margin. You can be like, Tim said this. Is that true? And you can come up afterwards and be like, Tim, you said this. Is that true? And so it makes it a little bit easier to follow through and follow with what's going on. But we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians, which was written by the Apostle Paul to a church that he started in the town of Corinth. And we get into a ton of background about that town. It was a town with all sorts of different things going on. It was a really worldly town, a Roman town, where there was this kind of expectation that you would be boastful, and that was the culture that they were in, where like, I'm going to boast about who I am and how amazing I am, and I'm going to put myself first. And it's a healthy, expected thing in Roman culture at that time to be someone who is self-promoting. And the Corinthians have bought into this idea, even though they're followers of Jesus, who is a God who humbled himself to come down and be like this, be like us, and humbled himself to die in our place and humbled himself to suffer. The Corinthians are living a life that's opposite of that, and they're putting themselves forward all the time. And so Paul is writing to them, and all throughout it, he's giving them these loving rebukes to kind of shape up a little bit. And so one of the things that he talks about, we looked at last week, he's like, hey, you guys have been gifted by God in all of these amazing ways, and yet I still have to kind of talk to you like you're children. You're not mature yet. And so in this passage, he's going to get into some of the experiences of God's gifts that they've had, and he's going to sort of tweak and correct some of their expectations. And while he does that, and we kind of get to look over his shoulders, we'll get a sense of what our expectation should be as well. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, he says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed," which is funny because they thought they knew everything. They thought they had all the knowledge and all the experience. And so he's writing to them and already kind of correcting, like, I don't want you guys to miss this. "You know that when you were pagans," right? So most of them, they were worshiping false Roman gods, going to temples, doing the sacrifices, all that stuff. "You know, when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." "Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." And so he's reminding them, like, hey, if someone is coming and saying that they have a message from God, here are some really clear things. Like, no one who's coming with a message from God is gonna curse Jesus. And if someone is coming and saying that Jesus is king and that Jesus is God, that's a good indication that the Spirit is behind that. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith or trust by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, or word that just means languages. And to still another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And He's going to use this analogy to explain to them, right? Because for the Corinthians, they're living in a context where they're looking at people in their church and they're like, you know what? Man, how awesome are we? There's some healing that happens at our church. How awesome are we? Bro, we get together and people be speaking in all kinds of tongues. Man, how awesome are we that we have, and they're like looking at some of these really kind of powerful, flashy things that God is choosing to do in their midst. And instead of saying, how awesome is God that He's doing this? They're saying, how awesome are we that these are happening? Or you have individuals who are saying, how awesome am I that I can do these things? And so He's going to correct them because some of them think that they're awesome. And then they're putting other people down because they don't have maybe those same kinds of gifts. So He's going to use this super clear analogy. Verse 12, just as one body, though it's one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles or slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. It's more fun to do voices for it. It would not for that reason. So it's like, what does a foot sound like? I don't know. How does a foot talk? Still don't know. Foot sign language? No, okay. All right. It would not for that reason stop being a part of the body, right? If the foot's like, that's not fair. I'm not a hand. I'm not part of the body. It still doesn't stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, imagine it for a moment. Imagine. It's hilarious. Something that feels like it's out of some like weird horror movie. A giant eyeball body. All right. Or a body made out of eyes. I don't know. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, even funnier to imagine, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there's lots of parts of the body, but only one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. In the Greek, it's like super clear here that he's like, yo, your private parts that are necessary for having babies, you have to cover them and treat them special. And he's like using like these like double entendres in Greek that we just don't get in the English. I know you guys, some of the people are like, Tim, you really don't have to go into it clear. It's fine. We get it. Right? He was like, hey, there are certain parts that are necessary for life that we keep hidden because it's awkward, but we treat them with special honor. But our hands that are less necessary for life, we just have them out and about all the time. And our feet, like they can just go in sandals and it's not a big deal. He's like, hey, we treat different parts of the body differently based on what they're made for, but they're all a part of the body. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. He's like, hey, those parts of your church that you're kind of embarrassed about or that you're hiding away, God has also given them honor, right? And so he's, anyway, we could go into the analogy more, but it would require more discussion of what I'm being flagged off of. That's fine. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance or administration, and of different kinds of tongues. Is everyone an apostle? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Uh-uh. Does everyone work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he says, and yet I'll show you the most excellent way. And we'll take a look at what the most excellent way is in a moment. Now, what I think is interesting here in this last verse, what I got wrong for so often, right, I would get to the end of this and I'd be reading this list and he's like, hey, there are these gifts and there are those gifts. And then he gets to the end and he's like, hey, now eagerly, you should still desire the greatest gifts. And in the context of the book of 1 Corinthians, and the context of Paul correcting their thinking, right? It would be easy to think that the greatest gifts are the ones that he's listing, some of the ones here, like healing and speaking in tongues or working in miracles. But that was the trap that the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians was falling into, of saying, hey, these really flashy things, those are the ones that are most important. But instead, Paul is correcting them and is saying, hey, that's not what's most important. What's most important is something else, and I'm going to show you that in a moment. I'm going to remind you of what the goal is. You should eagerly desire the gifts that lead towards that goal. And in a second, we'll take a look at what that goal is. But there are a couple things I want to highlight out of this chapter that we just read through. First is that it's talking about here gifts that God gives us, and that the root word in the original language that is there is related to the word for grace that we talked about, right? That God freely gives us forgiveness in Jesus. And as a part of that, as a consequence of that, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and starts to shape us and give us abilities that we wouldn't have without him for his specific purpose. It also talks about it as a manifestation of the Spirit. And that word, man, I don't know about you, I don't use manifestation that often in my day-to-day conversation. The word there is talking about like a revealing of God. That when these gifts are happening in our life, whether they're gifts of healing or gifts of mercy or gifts of guidance, that these are times when God is revealing himself through us, where a little bit of him is coming through, where something is happening that wouldn't have happened in our life without him. It's also really clear in this passage that we don't get the same gifts. We don't get the same gifting, that it all comes from the same source, but the things that he uses us for are different. And it's really clear here that we need each other, that we're not supposed to be doing this on our own. We need to be in community, and that the purpose of these gifts that are given is for the sake of the whole, not for the sake of just me. That the Holy Spirit doesn't give me spiritual gifts so that I can be happy and go on knowing like, oh man, I've got all these spiritual gifts and it's so great. That he gives it to us so that we can be a part of something bigger that Jesus is doing, so that we could be a part of his body. And the last thing is that the gifts are a good thing to want. At the end, he's like, hey, you should desire the greater gifts. And he's correcting them on what they think the greater gifts are, but he's still saying, hey man, we should want the Holy Spirit to be doing things through us in our life. There's a section on your note sheet that says the tools versus the goal. And the thing that I want to highlight here real quick is that the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts as tools to be used for his mission, but that the gifts themselves are not the goal. The goal in our life isn't to collect all of the different things that are listed in this passage, or later we'll talk through some of the different things the New Testament lists as ways that God equips us with these gifts. But the goal isn't to like collect all of the spiritual gifts and like fill out the bingo card and be like, awesome, I got all the gifts. Or to be in a spot where we've seen everything that God can do happen like in amongst like our life, because God's going to do what he wants to do. The goal isn't to collect them for ourselves. The goal isn't to chase after them. The goal is something else. And so we're going to look at the very next chapter, just the first three verses, to see what Paul says, right? Because he says to them, hey, I'm going to show you the most excellent way. Hey, I'm going to remind you what is most important. I'm going to remind you of the mission. And so 1 Corinthians 13, he says this. He says, if I speak in the tongues, right, or the languages of men or angels, right? In other words, hey, if God's spirit is working in me and I'm speaking in tongues, but I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. He's like, man, without love, it's just noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship so that I can boast about it, but I don't have love, then I gain nothing. And so the goal of God's work in our life, in one word, the goal is love. That's what God is creating us for. Right? Jesus said it super simply when he was asked what the greatest commandments were. He said to love God with everything that you've got. And to love the people around you the same way you care about yourself. And so God gives us these gifts, and Paul's making it super clear here for the Corinthians, who have these awesome supernatural things happening in their midst and are super proud about it and yet treating each other terribly. He's like, hey, you guys are missing the point. The point isn't that miracles happen. The point is the miracle of God changing your heart to love him and to love other people. That's why he's given you these gifts. He's like, hey, if you're doing these miracles, but there's no love, it doesn't count for anything. And so that's the expectation there of the Bible. That's what he lays out. He's like, hey, the Holy Spirit, he's giving you these things. He's giving you these gifts. The ones that are greater are the ones that help us love others well. The ones that are greater are the ones that are going to help us be a body together, to be connected, to take care of each other. The ones that are going to point us towards Jesus and what he has in mind for our life. And so what I want to do with the rest of our 8.5 minutes together is talk about a little bit of some of the things that kind of surround this conversation for us. I have a thing on your note sheet there that says the controversy. And so what I talk about is some of the ways that people that love Jesus look at what we should expect from the New Testament and from the Holy Spirit, ways that we look at it a little bit different. And so we're going to put up two words that are so complicated that Microsoft Word was pretty sure I misspelled them, and so I had to double check. And we're going to talk about what these two words mean. It's these two things. It's continuationism versus cessationism. On the screen. There it is. Continuationism versus cessationism. And so basically, these are two kind of spots on a spectrum, if you will, when it comes to what we expect from the Holy Spirit. And so continuationism is the viewpoint that everything that the New Testament talks about the Holy Spirit doing, all the ways the New Testament lists out that the Holy Spirit gifts God's people, that those things continue. Hence, continuationism. And so that's just like, hey, if you look at it happening in the New Testament, we should expect God doing that in some form or another in the world around us. Cessationism is the viewpoint that some of that stuff has ceased, has stopped. That's why it's cessationism, is that something has stopped. And so usually people who are in a cessationism camp, they will say that some of the gifts God gave during the time of the apostles, during the time of the founding of the church, before we had the Bible completely written for us, before the New Testament was finished, and those gifts existed as sort of like the in-between of when like in between the church starting and then us having the New Testament finished, and that we should expect that certain things there, specifically the miraculous things, the prophetic things, or what they might say like the supernatural like word gifts, that those would have stopped. And so those are kind of the two competing viewpoints. And really, it breaks down even more in there because you have cessationists who say like, hey, the Holy Spirit only does these gifts, but not these gifts over here. And then you have multiple camps in continuationism. You have everything from like, no, I believe that God can do it. When I look at the Bible, it seems like it says that, but I haven't really seen any of that around me and I'm not expecting to. And when I see something happen, I'm going to be a little suspicious. All the way to people saying, hey, all of us should experience very specific things. Everyone who is a follower of Jesus should have this kind of spiritual gift happen. Frequently, right, there are certain churches that will teach that everyone, when they come to Jesus, at some point will be filled with the Spirit and they will speak in tongues. I think, right, so this is one end, and this is the other end. I think somewhere in here is where we see what Scripture talks about. The churches that are the cessationist churches, the churches that say like, hey, these things stopped after the apostles were gone, those churches tend to be really, really big on God's word and what the word says, which is a huge, strong point of churches like that. The difficulty that I have with that position, and that was a position that I held at one point in my life, the difficulty that I have with that is that if you read the Bible, it doesn't really like say that. And so I did a bunch of research this week to be like, okay, what are the best arguments from that point of view? And pretty much all of the best arguments aren't about like, hey, the Bible says that this will stop. It's more of a logical argument that flows out of that. But when I read the Bible and when I really look at it, it looks like the expectation of the New Testament is that those things kind of continue. On this side of the spectrum, right? Paul just laid it out super clearly. Everybody is gifted differently. That these gifts aren't the marker of how mature somebody is. These gifts aren't the marker of whether or not God is present in someone's life. That somewhere in here is kind of where, to me, it seems like the New Testament is. And so there's a section there that says, what should our expectation be? And so kind of what I want to lay out as our expectation is a couple things, right? Our expectation from the New Testament, from this passage that we were looking at, I think one is our expectation is that everyone is gifted uniquely. That God has made you in a way that he hasn't made other people. He's put you in specific circumstances, in a specific family. He's given you specific natural talents, and he's given you, if you've come to him and accepted his forgiveness, that his Spirit is present in your life in unique ways, different than the person you're sitting next to. And he's done that for a specific purpose. The second thing is, I think we should expect that there's no standard of gifting. That these gifts, they come from God based on what he wants to do. All right, we don't get to determine what our gifts are going to be. We don't get to point at someone else and say that either they're amazing because they're gifted in a certain way, or that they're like, that they should be treated less than because they're gifted a certain way, that instead we should all care for and love each other. We should expect that God has gifted us, but we shouldn't weigh one over the other. And when Paul talks about seeking the greatest gifts, he's talking about seeking the ones that help us love each other, right? Like we'll talk about a little bit later, like one of the gifts that's amazing is the gift of hospitality. That when someone shows up, that you can help them feel loved and cared for and like they matter, right? And man, talk about a way of reflecting God's heart towards somebody. Right, because when we come to God, he is so excited to have us there. Hospitality is not flashy. Hospitality is not something the First Corinthians would have been like, look at us, we're hospitable. Like that, they're not excited about it. They're not bragging about it. But man, that helps us to love each other. And so we need to make sure that our expectation, kind of how we rank the way that God gifts us, isn't based on a more worldly sense of like, man, what puts me in the spotlight? What puts me forward? What makes me look good? Instead, is how is God calling me to love the people around me? What we should see as a shared standard is a shared standard of character. There's a shared standard of who we're being created to be. So each of us is given a different tool. Each of us is given multiple tools and multiple ways to serve each other, but all of us are pushing towards the goal of becoming more like Jesus. All right, lastly, in a minute and 12 seconds, probably a little bit longer than that, we're going to go through, I want to talk about some of the ways that God gifts us. I want to talk about, really, these are a list of things that the New Testament talks about as gifts that are active, that I believe are active in a group like this, or at least could be active in a group like this. And that, just to give a brief explanation of some of the ones that are a little bit more confusing, there's space for you to take notes. We're going to be flying through these. Go for it if you are the kind of person that loves hand cramps. They're each going to be coming up on the screen for as long as I talk about them, which for many of them is not going to be super long. And so the first one up is the spiritual gift of serving. All of us are called to serve each other. All of us are called to put other people first. People with the spiritual gift of serving, man, they get jazzed on it. They get pumped when they're serving other people. They get pumped when they're putting chairs out, when they're taking care of someone, when someone has something going on in their life and they're able to move towards them and take care of them. One of the ways to know if you have a specific spiritual gift is what makes you excited. Another is to say, man, what is it when it's not happening almost makes you upset, right? If you're the only one who's doing some of these things, you're like, how come no one else is putting chairs out? It's like people need chairs or whatever. Like that's a great indication that, maybe God has designed you to care about this stuff specifically. Next one up, the spiritual gift of teaching. And so this isn't just people who are like in a classroom setting, but to be able to teach is to take God's word and to be able to explain it so that other people are like, oh, I get that. To me, when I was in high school, I would read the Bible and I would go to life group and other people would be like, I read it like three times and I still don't understand it. And like, I'd sit there and be like, oh, well, here's like sort of what it meant to me. And like three people would be like, oh. And to me, I'm just like, how come everybody doesn't see this stuff? It's like so clear to me. And then when I started to realize, I was like, oh, maybe it's because there's a little bit of that like gift of teaching to be able to explain God's word to people in a way that they get. Next, spiritual gift of encouraging. Man, talk about something that's easy to sweep under the rug, to not notice, to not give God credit for as a way that he's gifted us, but is so life-giving. Right? This is someone who, man, like God prompts them and they're able to just lift people up, sometimes without even knowing that they need to be lifted up. And it is so helpful. Right? Maybe that's been you in a life group setting with friends where you've been able to offer a word of encouragement and you've just seen like the light in someone's eyes come back for a moment. Right? This is a way that we reflect God's love to each other. Next, spiritual gift of giving. Right? These are people who look for every opportunity to give away what God has given them because it's a greater blessing and they've seen that and they get excited about that, right? Sometimes God gifts some of us in the church with a lot of money and then the gift of giving so that he gives us all this money for us to then give away to other people. And that's an awesome place to be in, right? In a setting like this, maybe you're the person who's always down to put money towards filling the tank with gas, who's always willing to pay for the meal for the friend who forgot their wallet, or who's always looking for opportunities to take care of others around you. You heard someone in your life group's not able to go to winter camp, and so you're finding out a way in order to put money towards that. And this can be a real way that God is active in our lives to take care of each other. There's the spiritual gift of leadership, right, where there are just certain people that people look to and follow. And there's a real calling that comes with this. Each one of these gifts has ways that we can use it for God's glory and for his church, or we can use it for ourselves. And this is a real double-edged sword kind of gift because sometimes people who are leaders make it about themselves, right? And then other times people who are leaders help lead people towards Jesus. Mercy, being able to come alongside people who are going through a rough time. You see someone who's maybe separated from the group, who's off on their own, and your heart is just moved towards them. Next up, faith. right? Or trust. I know I said some of these are going to go quickly. This is, all of us are called to have trust in Jesus, but man, there are certain people who it doesn't matter how dark the time, it's like the darker it gets, the more their trust is just turned up. And oftentimes that's the Holy Spirit at work, and they can be a great encouragement to the rest of us, reminding us that all of us are supposed to have trust in God. Next up, the Bible talks about distinguishing of spirits. It's a longer one to write, so I'm going to try to slow down a little. Distinguishing of spirits, right? There are going to be times where people come and they're like, hey, you know what's true? X, Y, and Z. And sometimes that's going to be biblical and sometimes it's not, right? The Bible talks about there being wolves in sheep clothing, about there being false teachers who want to lead us astray from God. And God has given his body the ability to kind of distinguish that. And some of us are going to be better at telling what's going on with that than others. And some of us are going to know when something spiritual is going on in someone's life that requires prayer. And others of us are going to be more oblivious to that. And so you can almost think of these people as like the T cells in the body, the people who are like most quick to have a sense of like, I don't know if like something smells fishy here. The difficult thing with this is how, when you start thinking something smells fishy, how do you handle that with grace, right? How do you handle that with good character, right? Because with the gift also comes an expectation that we still move towards love with each other. Next one up is helps. It's a lot like service. It's coming alongside other people, taking care of them. The next one after that is administration. Administration, also sometimes called government, or it had another name in the passage we were looking at in 1 Corinthians. These are people who are really good at organizing things. How many of you guys have been involved with, in some way or another, the Passion Project? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So, some excitement. I think one of the interesting things with what's going on there is, right, because you have different people who might fit into some of these different camps. You have people who are maybe gifted with worship. You have people who are gifted with maybe a little bit of the teaching ability to kind of open up God's word and explain it a little bit. I think oftentimes you see pieces of that with high school students, where you see people who have those kinds of giftings. You know what is really difficult to do with high school students? Organize them to get them to do something like together. Like probably the thing that's probably made this come together the strongest is finding someone or multiple people who have like a spiritual gift of administration, which is not a flashy gift, but people who are administrators are often good at taking other people's strengths and pointing them in the same direction. And if everyone's heading in a different direction, it's got less of an impact than people heading in one direction. But this is something that the Holy Spirit does. All right, so now we're going to get into some of the ones that, right, like a group of the people that we talked about would say are things that have ceased. I'm going to describe these gifts of the Spirit as if they are things that are still going on. As a church, these are things that we believe are still going on. But also as a church, like this for us is a secondary issue where we love each other and care for each other, kind of not depending on where we fall on this theological issue. And so the next one up that we want to talk about is prophecy. So there are certain people, I believe, and that I've experienced who have a gift of prophecy, which is something super simple. It's not like people who come down and are like, hear ye, God has a brand new thing for you to follow. Here's a brand new command. Here's a brand new, it's not about adding to or expanding scripture, but it's simply God giving someone a message for someone else. Oftentimes, it's an application of the truth of Scripture. It's a reminder to someone. It's like, hey, I really feel like God wants me to remind you that you're his child. Like, hey, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I really sense that God wants me to remind you that Jesus' blood covers whatever it is that you think stands between you and him. Right? And it's not about taking some new truth that God has given, but it's about oftentimes being given a specific application. Prophecy isn't like telling the future. Even in the Old Testament, prophets weren't future tellers, but what prophets were people who were given a message by God. And so I think that I've experienced this from multiple people, like towards me, And I think I've had opportunities to be able to bless other people with something like this. And it's oftentimes been something really low key. But regardless, let's say someone has the spiritual gift of prophecy. That doesn't mean everything that comes out of their mouth is from God. It doesn't mean now, like, all of a sudden they're God's mouthpiece. And it also doesn't mean that we take anything that they say as if it has the same strength as Scripture. Right? The Bible talks about weighing and being careful with the words of a prophet. Right? And so similarly, even if we think someone is gifted with that, or someone comes to us and is like, man, God wanted me to tell you X, right? It's appropriate and expected for us to weigh that, to discern that, to compare it with Scripture, and to ask for wise counsel with people, especially if it's something that's like really big. If it's something like a reminder that God loves us, man, we can just take that to the bank because we already know that's a scriptural truth. And we're like, awesome, that's really cool. If it's something like, hey, I really think you should go to this specific school. I mean, it's hard to say. The Bible's not going to speak to that specifically. Like you take that as like one kind of piece and you put it in your back pocket. I could talk more about that, but I'm already almost 10 minutes over. And at some point, we got to land this plane. Next up, healing, right? Spiritual gift of healing. This would be, right? The New Testament talks about us praying that God would heal people. Also, the expectation, I think, in the New Testament that's healthy, the expectation is that there will be sickness and there will be death until Jesus returns. And when God chooses to heal someone, that's a little bit of the future almost peeking into the present. But I think that there are certain people who will regularly have the experience of praying and asking that God would heal someone and having him answer that prayer more regularly than maybe the rest of us would have it. That doesn't mean that they get to control that. It doesn't mean that now they get to turn on and turn off the power of healing. But I think that sometimes the Holy Spirit chooses to put specific people in a specific setting on a regular occasion. And it might even be that those are the people who he knows are going to turn the attention back to him instead of making it about themselves. I don't really know. But I think that this is something that the Holy Spirit can gift someone to do. And we end up seeing oftentimes more of this happening on the edges of the mission field as people are going into new areas where the message of Jesus is coming for the first time, more than we see it in developed first world countries where we have a lot of ways that we can turn to health and that God brings healing into our life through other things. I could probably talk about that for its own message, but we'll go on to the next one, which is miraculous powers, which I think is similar in that it's something that the Holy Spirit can do in a world like ours, where if someone got up here and performed a miracle, the majority of people in our culture would be like, how do you do that magic trick? Where's the mirror? Where's the hidden pocket? Where's the thing? How does it work? I think less of it happens in a setting like that because it's not going to turn people's attention to God. But that's just me trying to guess why it is we don't see a whole lot of that and why we see more of that in places like Africa and South America. But it seems like when you talk to missionaries and when you look at the New Testament, that it's something that God is capable of doing. But again, it's in his timing, depending on who he wants to gift. Words of wisdom, and the next one, which is words of knowledge, are both spiritual gifts where God just kind of prompts something, like someone to say something similar to prophecy. It's just that like sense of like, hey, like I really think this would be a good idea, or like sometimes with words of knowledge, I've talked to people in these small churches that oftentimes people have come over from another country and they're like first generation in the U.S. where there will be these many times older women in the church who like God just gives them this knowledge of what kinds of sin people in the church are dealing with and puts a calling on their life to pray for those people. And when they handle it well, they go to that person like, hey, I'm praying for this thing for you. You know, God really, like, he cares about you and wants you to know that he has grace for that and has forgiveness and he's calling you to something better. And oftentimes they're like right on the money. Why it's in those specific settings and maybe less often in this kind of thing, I don't know. But that seems to be something that God is capable of doing, that the New Testament talks about. Last up, we have speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Tongues is when someone, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is speaking in another language. Some people experience that and describe it as a heavenly language. Some people describe it as, like, have had the experience of speaking, like, in a language that they didn't know about. I'm going way over my time, and so I'd love to share a story with you that if you want to hear about a really cool experience that someone I know had in Mexico, you can come up and talk to me afterwards about that. The expectation in the New Testament is that if God is going to do this, and he's going to do it in a group of people, that it wouldn't just be someone babbling in a way that no one else could understand, but that it would also be interpreted by someone else. And so I think that is something that God continues to gift people with, but that many times in settings like ours, we don't see that a whole lot. It's one of the gifts that people way far on the spectrum tend to push forward as this like thing that everyone should experience. And I think the expectation in the New Testament is like, hey, this is something God can do if there's a reason that he's going to do it and a way that he's going to do it that glorifies himself. I have a whole section on like how to figure out how you're gifted. We're just going to skip that for right now. I would love to like fill that out for you guys, but we are like super over our time because there's a ton to talk about here. I think what I would love to do is probably revisit this topic in the spring. And instead of just talking about kind of the theology and the New Testament expectation, to really get into like, okay, what are some of the things that we should expect to see in our group? And how do we figure out how God has designed us? But as the band comes up, something I just want to encourage you with is this. One, I want to encourage you that God has brought you into his family on purpose. That you have a place of belonging here and you have a place, you have a role to play. That there's a way that he has built you into his body and has designed you for the health of others and for the mission of his kingdom. That he's designed you to use you in specific ways. And those ways include your likes and your dislikes, your talents, and also special ways that he's gifted you by his Spirit. Our expectation should be that God is doing things around us that we get to be a part of. But also our expectation shouldn't be that we're lesser if we don't look like someone else. Our expectation shouldn't be that everyone fit a certain box or a certain mold. Our expectation should be that God is going to use us in the way that he wants, in a way that shines light on him. And so over these last 3 weeks, right, the big thing that I want you guys to know, right, is that man, God, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, like he has sent his presence to be there with you, to guide you, to comfort you, to equip you, and to use you, and all of that for the purpose of his glory. All of that so that more people, you and I included, and those around us, would know him better and get to walk with him more closely, and that we would represent him well in this world. And he hasn't left you alone to do that. He hasn't just invited you into the family and then asked you to figure it out on your own. That he's given us his word and his presence to show us what it looks like to be people who follow him. Would you guys stand with me as we go into this time of worship? Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your leadership and your guidance. Thank you for how you want to equip us. God, I pray that more and more we would get to see who it is that you've called us to be, that we would have courage, that we would listen to your leading. God, that we would be people of grace and of love towards each other, that we would treat each other well, that we would build up the body around us, and that we would do that in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you guys for hanging with us tonight. I know that a lot of what we talked about was kind of more like really kind of digging into a longer passage than we normally would, talking through some of the theology that like more than we maybe normally would in that kind of setting. And so I really want to like commend you guys for sitting through that and paying attention through that. It was, man, I am almost left feeling like I bit off more than I could chew. But a part of why we did that is because what we oftentimes want to do is get into the, okay, how do I live this out part? But it's always important for us to have the truth underneath to know really kind of what's going on. And so We're officially going to be done. We are wrapped up with our service. We won't be back here next week, but we will be back the week after that. Next week is Christmas Eve. Now, normally we don't. When we finish what we're going through, we just are done for the night. But what I want to offer you guys tonight is that if you want to stick around or if you have a couple questions, I would love to do a little like impromptu, maybe 5-10 minute Q&A if you guys are interested in certain things. If it's 3 people, that's great. If it's 10 people, awesome. I know that there are birthday parties to get to, and so that's cool too. I know it's a busy weekend. There's a lot going on. But I want to offer that to you guys because we went over a lot of stuff. We cut off the end of the message. And so what I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to pray. And then you're good to go. If you're going to make plans with people and like go hang out and do things like that, and you want to like chat, I'm just going to ask that for once in like, you know, we're always doing that right here. I'm just going to say just move on to the lobby, and then whoever wants to hang out for a little bit so that we can answer a couple questions, talk through some things. If you guys want to hear that Mexico story that I was talking about, I'll share that too. But let me pray for us real quick. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for how you've gifted us. Thank you for the gift of Christmas. I pray over our next week, would it be filled with celebration as every final is turned in. God, would there be just a little bit more of the joy of Christmas that kind of seeps in? Would we remember that you are the reason we celebrate, that you are the King, that you are the one who gave your life for us? Jesus, it is about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome, guys. Have a great week. Band, thank you very much. Bowling.